felt like we should have a discussion this morning. But first, we'll look at the chart, knowing we're in the age of Aquarius. We're in the in Pisces, which is simian, and that is dualistic hearing. So we can look for things to be kind of off kilter, and in that spirit saying one thing and the carnal mind saying another. And of course we're in the moons in Taurus. Or Morgan said it is in Taurus moving into Gemini, which is the way it does. It's the backward cycle. So we'll be dealing with determinations as it moves into Gemini, its own. Isn't it?
Yeah.
There's a big old bug.
It's a stink bug.
Oh, that will smell when you do that.
Well, I'm not
going to mash it. I'm just going to float it. Water.
I'm sorry.
Oh, it's all right. You need to get rid of those when they start coming out.
What?
I said they're out now and they have a purpose, but yet I haven't figured out what that is yet. Don't care either.
Forgot something.
You'll be here in a minute.
That's not what it was. I tried to get him to get by one.
That's what it is.
Okay.
It's this world's tape.
That commercial.
Well, I wanted to talk to us a little bit and let us discuss, too. It's like Karen said, if we're just coming here, going through the motions, I don't think that's a good thing. Or just saying, I went to worship somewhere. That's really a waste of your time, you know, whomever. So, she had no idea about what I was going to share. And so it's amazing how spirit is always speaking. And we could hear, if we would tune ourselves into spirit, it's telling us things all of the time. It is never not speaking. Never. At the same time, your carnal mind is like a broken record. It's going on too. So you have to decide and understand. Understanding what spirit is born out of a relationship with your divinity. I call this divinity Jesus Christ. That's the one that saved my soul, is saving my soul. He is the resurrection and the life. He's not passé, good grief. He said, walking the earth, I am the resurrection. So he's life ongoing forever, forever, forever. And my people feel like they can just get beyond Christ. Now, I understand the man Jesus. Of course I do. And I'm thankful for that. However, I would have to honor him as a man anyway. He did marvelous things. He pointed us in all the right directions. So our relationship with this divinity, it is vital what that relationship is about. It's supposed to be husband and wife. He said, I'm married to Israel. And he's not talking about Israel over there. He's talking about the Israeli you are in your heart. For he is a Jew, which is a Jew inwardly. It's not an outward thing. Galatians tells us all about that. So in this marriage relationship, some of the things that I notice that I have done and others do is we really don't treat him like our husband because we're begging him to do something. He's our husband. We only have to ask. Just ask. It's simplistic. It's not something that I say to my husband over and over, will you, will you, will you? I mean, that would wear him out. And that's not a relationship anyway. That's like a child and a father. But being convinced that I'm his wife and that I'm going to hear his heart and do his bidding, that's beautiful. Being married to something that is a great relationship. I just don't see many people married to Christ. I don't. They're married to an illusion. I hate to put down our poor Baptist friends, but they're always waiting on him to get here. And I'm thinking, my Lord lives right here and now. I don't wait on him to split open the eastern sky. He's as close as my breath. So why would I go through all this ritualistic waste of time? And I don't mean to put him down. That is a step. And I love the church system. It's the way we came. I'm thankful we're beyond that into the resurrected life. I'm not thankful that some think they're beyond Jesus or beyond Christ. I can understand being maybe beyond Jesus the man, but I couldn't even do that. I'm hearing people say that they don't believe in Jesus anymore. And I'm going, oh, I would be scared to let that thought even crease my mind.
Or plus say it.
Because I more believe in Christ than I ever have, ever. So that's a scary thing. That's a scary thing. And it's childish, too. They're saying, I've got to have more. I want to live on the cutting edge of reality. And to me, they're just getting away from reality. They don't believe in anything. And people saying everything is God. Folks, come on here. The heavens are full of anti-spirits. Did you know that? Wake up.
If we have light, we have darkness.
Wake up.
You have the opposite.
You know, I mean, I believe that when people pass, that there's still a residual of whatever they pass with. If it's negativity, whatever it is, I think it's still here. I don't think it goes anywhere.
Well, that boils down to people attempting to defy duality. And
yeah,
you can't do that. That, you know, you can, I guess you can do that if you're dead, you know, yeah, if you're in the spirit realm fully, but the very purpose of this place is to show us duality.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely,
you can't have one without the other. You can't have up without down or left without right or good without evil or law without chaos. That is this place.
Well, yeah, there, for every force, there's an equal and opposite force. That's Newton's third law. So there's
well, it's not just automatic. It's not just.
And the duality she's talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's not just about
that,
what man has discovered as far as laws go. It's about it's about truth, and it's about, you know, the as on earth, so it is in heaven.
Well, that's exactly what I mean when I'm saying God is not going to go against his natural laws.
No.
You know, his natural laws are being fulfilled.
Well, everything that is here and we encounter or otherwise have to deal with, there's a deeper lesson inside of it for
yes,
you somewhere.
Absolutely. Yes.
So, and that's really what this place is about. you know, there's a lot of different theories about why that is, or, you know, what the purpose of it is. Some people say that we are evolving into a physical manifestation of divinity. Some people say that we came from divinity and were lowered into this because of disobedience.
No.
So I don't know the answer to the question, but in either case, the final result is that we reach a place where we're at oneness with all divinity. One thing that I know is true is there is no separation in the afterlife. There's no separation between you and divinity. That's you, right. Are divinity. You are part of divinity. That I know is absolutely true.
Yes, I have to believe that.
So, well, like Terry said, yes, you can carry some luggage around with you if you like, and that will affect your experience. But and perhaps may beckon you to have to repeat, you know, like a shampoo bottle, rinse and repeat is necessary. So perhaps that's true.
Yeah.
I know that I tend to believe that just because nothing is wasted in this space. If you want to understand how God works, all you got to do is look at nature. Everything is recycled.
Yes.
So I don't think it's limited to animals, but what you were saying about me, I found that by letting go and letting God, I mean, wham, it's in my face, it's in a big turnaround, and God has got a lot of sense of humor. It's like he takes the most unusual situation and fixes it. You just have to step back and go, okay, I give up, I give in, it's yours, nothing I can do. Period. And when you let go, I found when I let go of stuff and I step out of it, my emotional state, my negative thoughts, when I step back and go, okay, done. I mean, I've seen it over and over again here in the past couple of weeks, just flip over into a better situation.
Yes.
Even though it seemingly looks bad, it just comes out so beautiful and you're going, okay, well, it was easy. That was easier than trying to control it.
Well,
well,
we have,
yeah.
If we have our eyes open, we do see those things.
Well, we have to. I mean, that's the part of who I am, the intuitiveness. I'm very intuitive. And I've always walked away from kind of leery of that part of me, thinking that I'm crazy. I know I'm not crazy, and my intuitiveness is a gift from God, and I'm going to allow myself to use it. Within reason.
Well, yeah. Intuition's beautiful, but please...
I'm talking about spiritual intuition.
Well, that's inspiration. That's a different word.
Well,
and that's what I was going to say. Intuition, a lot of people have that are not spiritual at all.
Yeah.
And intuitiveness can be a gift, but it can be a detriment too, because you pick up the negative as well as the positive in situations. So... I'd rather hear us say, have the spirit of inspiration.
Okay.
And I think every man is given a measure of spirit. Don't you guys? Don't you believe every man's a
spirit?
He wouldn't.
Well,
say, well, this one gets it all.
Right, but I hate to make broad sweeping statements, because as far as always and ever, because... One thing about this place is there is diversity.
Yeah.
So it is possible that there have been a few individuals that have shown up on the scene that didn't have that, but they were there to instruct the people around them.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I don't know if you guys have watched it, but I watched the first, it's on ABC, it's a... Kings and Prophets.
Oh, it was awesome.
They did really good. I thought they did
about
really good.
About the 12 tribes, I was like, wow.
Following the historical tradition.
When's it on?
It was on Tuesday nights. Yeah, I guess so. It's on demand.
Yeah. Daddy watched it.
Yeah, he's interested in
it. I was shocked, Mom. I was like, oh, God, I want to go wake Mama up. Because it was good.
It was good, but you can watch it on demand. They've got it.
It's not like your typical what you think, like our other godly stuff. This was...
They did a pretty good historical representation of what went on. But what struck me was, you know, as you know, first of all, God did not want to give Israel a king.
No, he didn't.
But they
told them that.
Demanded it anyway. So he gave them Saul.
Yes.
And then proceeded, according to the prophet, to ask Saul to do some things that he really didn't want to do. And he's like, you know, well, you can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You either do, you know, you're either king and do what you're told, or you're not going to be king. And just his wrangling, his lowering himself into a soul realm, it set up his own demise.
Yes, it did.
No, he knew it, I think, instinctively.
I think so, too. You know, and so... I don't know. It just resonates because
yes.
The same thing happened if you read like the Once and Future King, T.H. White. You know, King Arthur was tricked into having sex with his half sister,
mm-hmm.
which produced Mordred.
Right.
Well, there was a soothsayer that came along and told King Arthur, "A baby born on this day and this year will kill you." When it grows up. So, every baby that he could find that was born on that day, he had put on a ship, sent out to sea, and then lit it on fire.
He thought he got them all.
Mordred was the only one that lived.
And he was
so,
the one.
Mordred didn't have a reason until then to kill him, his own father. But King Arthur made it happen. It gave him the impetus to do it. So that's just what I'm saying. We allow our soul to get involved with things without using the spirit side of things. And we start to try to manipulate everything around us. And it usually backfires.
Yeah. That's how Ishmael got born.
Well, no, I see myself when you talk about manipulation. And it can be a small thing. But I've seen it in myself lately. You know, and I mean, I'm calling it out what it is when I see myself doing it. And it's a behavior that I've had that I've actually never addressed. So,
I love that movie. It'll be on again Tuesday night.
Manipulation is very common with Leo.
Yeah, well,
because they have a king spirit anyway. They're born with it. You know, it's part of that.
Oh, yeah.
Tribe of Judah and
not
the line
to
of
talk
tribe.
Bad about her, but you know, Caitlin, my brothers, or my son's girl. She's a Leo, and she's very much a Leo. She wants to armchair quarterback everything.
When is her birthday?
Leo. August.
I don't remember. But anyway, just as an example. Of course, she's really young, too, so we'll give her a little room. But it's just part of the personality. Really can't help it. So,
and she's spoiled. And she's
she's a baby.
Well, she is.
But she has a lot of good qualities, too. Like, baby wasn't feeling good a few days ago, so she didn't hesitate. She took him to Children's Hospital. That's where he's been for the past 2 days. He's supposed to get out today.
We need to remember Kay because he's awful small. To have to
some kind of virus that's going around only affects infants. RCT or something. There's a name for it.
I don't want to embarrass Liz. Liz, you know, I asked you last week, do you understand anything that we're teaching?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand that you are heaven and hell?
Yeah.
Okay. And that you are all of these things.
Yes.
Okay. Because you said some of you didn't understand, and I want you to be able to understand so you can help you. Okay.
I got lost last week.
Okay.
Well, understanding really takes a relationship and fixing your gaze. And the thing about us is when someone's teaching, everybody is getting something different. That's just the way it is. I know when there's a teacher teaching and he or she gets on a trail that is very important to me, I will follow that trail, and when I get back to that teacher, he's done left me, or she, well, a long time ago. But I do a thing called make notes, because certain things are important to me that God's been talking to me about. So your relationship with divinity doesn't need to be afar off. You need to make it your reality. And learn to love that divinity in yourself as well as others. Give others room. Divinity's giving. It's very giving to be who they are or are not. I let people have some or nots. I mean, I got some. Yeah. So let's just be honest and fair about it. And He takes our R-naughts and our R's, and that's our makeup. I want to read us this because I think it's important. The word relationship, of course, comes from to relate. To relate to someone. How can you have a relationship if you can't build a foundation where you can relate something with them? You cannot have a relationship if you don't. There is no way. And I've met people I didn't want one with. So, you know, I can just be quiet. But if I could find out where they're coming from, I won't be snooty or hoggy. I will give of myself to them.
I think we have to listen. Part of mine is actually listening skills. I've really worked on that this week with several people that I wasn't sure, like our neighbor Chuck. Just really talk, even though he can't talk real well, he's doing a little better. But just talking to somebody I don't know that is lonely. Not just him. I went and visited him. We have a relationship, but it's a different type of relationship. It's just friends. And there's certain things that we like to do together. It was just kind of fun. It's little things. But neither one of them require a whole lot of time. It's just taking that time. Randy says, God, you should just do this and this and this for different people. I said, it keeps me out of myself. And it's helping other people. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're here for. Plus, it helped me.
Well, relationships are beautiful and good, like you say. However, we need to work on our own.
That's right.
Some, especially with the divinity practice, hearing what Spirit's saying instead of what your carnal mind is saying. Well, look what she said or he said, or how you're offended or could be offended. I mean, just get beyond that little thing. Just put it in the corner somewhere or kill it, annihilate it, and think about how you could love the person instead.
Yeah, I like to annihilate my tongue sometimes, but
anyway, relation means it's the fact or condition of being related or connected in some way. So we're all connected in humanity. It's like Morgan has said it over and over, we're all human beings, so that connects us. That's the beginning of a connection. And then we have to build upon that. It's also being connected by marriage, and that's taking two bloods, two different bloodlines, hopefully. The reason I'm saying that is the TV show they've had on, I had seen before, and wondered why I hadn't watched it, and then when I watched it, I knew why I hadn't watched it. It was about, it's a four-part series on family incest, I'm not really acquainted much with incest, and thank God I don't know of it, you know, in our lines, but I guess it happens a lot more than we know about. And brother and sister were together and produced children. My goodness, no wonder the scripture tells us not to marry brother or sister and so on and so forth. But anyway.
And you bring out your worst qualities.
Well, instead of what it does, produces, is it can produce some warped things.
Yes.
Physically and mentally. So.
The one definition I loved, it says conditions are connections that bring an individual in touch with his fellows. And that's what she said out of her mouth this morning, our coming together. You may not realize how much it builds your own spirituality and your spiritual strength, but that like-mindedness always brings a new strength and order and makes us ready for change in our life, because changes are always
March.
Well, I think it brings
in a lot of ways.
I think it brings out those things that are in common, you know, like you were saying. Well, sometimes you meet people that you just know. Well, there's just nothing that you have in common with them. You just know in talking with them that there's no like-mindedness. So the thing about us come together is
we bring
that like-mindedness, that commonality.
Yes.
And what do we have in common? Tell me, what do we have in common? We have His divinity in common.
That's right. Yeah.
Because
From the start,
my relationship with Connie was based on spirituality.
Yes.
And spirit.
And has
spirit.
Been for over 40 years.
I don't know that we ever would have been natural friends, because we were so... I don't even look for that in people anymore. I couldn't be just a natural friend with someone and not feel that as my basis.
Yeah.
And so our basis here when we come together, what is it? It's divinity. It's spirit.
Well,
that's
for me, I've had to make changes about how I have relationships with people. So I've had to really set some boundaries for myself so I don't overstep giving. Or overstep feeling like I'm not taking
care of
me.
Well, your situation is different.
Yeah, but it's workable. Things have changed so much that it's like, it's easier to do than it was before.
You're finding yourself in a place, Terry, of being a mentor.
Yeah.
Of really being that mature voice to these folks that need it.
Yeah.
To try to raise them up to a higher level of thinking.
Well, and there's some people who
and
are
I think that's what you're struggling
with.
As far as, well, now, who needs that? Who would benefit from that? Who's actually looking for that? Who sincerely wants that?
Yeah,
and who doesn't? And you have to kind of draw the line and say, okay, this person is really not looking
lines.
For that, will only drag me down, but this other person is looking for that, and maybe in some way I can touch her and bring her to that higher place. Yeah. You know, I think that's where you're at right now, and the folks that you're around.
It's better. It's a whole lot better.
It's important to bring unity, if you can. In any conversation, I guess, I'm looking for to lift it out of wherever it is, if possible, lift that conversation. And if a person around me is negative, and I know I can feel, well, like I said to me, evil spirits are no-brainers. And I can feel my own, yours too. And everybody has to deal with them in some capacity, some more than others. So the best thing to do with those, to me, is in a conversation, not to become combative with the thing. I just begin to cry out in my heart. Say, okay, Father, you see this. You see what's going on. It's not about me winning. It's not about a contest. I mean, who cares if who wins? That's ridiculous. I hate that kind of competitive. Why? There's no reason to compete. There's so much of God for everybody. I mean, thank God, we don't do that here, that I can feel. We let the different ones share their part. And, oh, I so want that for mankind. That's always been my heart. I don't have to say a word, but you do. Say, tell me. Tell me. I want to know how you feel. That's, to me, that's what it's all about, the whole body sharing, if they feel to. Now, some people just say they don't want to talk, which is fine, but then I wonder what they're hiding.
That's really none of your business.
No, that is me detecting an evil spirit.
Well, it is, but I think people will bring that out to you.
If they won't talk, something's going on.
Well, what you're saying is, I know what I'm thinking, and you know what I'm thinking, right? Because I'm talking.
Correct.
Only know what you're saying. I don't know what you're thinking.
Right.
So that's what
people just need time to process, and that's why they're not.
Well, if they're just being quiet, that's one thing, Terry. But if you meet every time you meet them, it's like Don Cooley said. He said, when people are too quiet, they're judging you.
Well, of course.
That's exactly what they're doing.
Maybe.
And so when people are too quiet, I know what they're doing. Not that I care. That bothers me much. But I want to read us a scripture because I think it's important. The scripture says, therefore, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Paul tells us that, he said, I've espoused you to one husband, and that's all of mankind. Well, who is that husbandman but
Christ?
Spirit. Christ, yes. Anyway, he goes on to get after him about whatever the chapter's about. I can't remember it all right now, but then in Revelation 21, it tells us, get there to it. It's a beautiful chapter, really. And, well, let's just read it. This is John that saw this vision of things to come to pass that are coming to pass now. He says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the scripture tells me the mercies of the Lord are new
every
morning. So I keep trying to remember that because some mornings I'm wondering where it's at. You know. If I'm having a negative day, but the scripture says they're new every morning, so I have that to quote in the face of negativity. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. Your heavens and earth passed away many times since you became the Lord's. Of course they have. Our first heaven that I would have thought of, I would raised in a Pentecostal environment, and so I was waiting on Jesus to split open the eastern sky, and then along came Cecil Duceil.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't know if y'all ever heard of that fella, but he was a tall black guy from Jamaica, and he would preach for 3 hours on you being the tabernacle, and there was no rapture.
I remember.
Boy, did my heart take a leap. No rapture. I'm not going anywhere. I mean,
there's no such
what's
going
to happen
anyway.
You know, but he made it so beautiful that we were indeed like the rapture because we were that tabernacle. He had drawn the tabernacle on a bed sheet, or he hadn't, Danny Busey had. Does anybody remember Danny?
Oh, God, yeah.
My older kids should remember
Danny. I thought he was nice looking. I was a young lady.
Mr. Bible.
Yeah, I thought he was a nice looking man.
But anyway, he drew the tabernacle on a bed sheet, and he helped Duceil teach us the tabernacle for hours and hours and hours and hours. It was just beautiful. And anyway, he was the one that took my rapture away, but he gave me something better, a whole lot better than that rapture. Anyway, it says here, the first earth and heaven were passed away. There was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the holy Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's another thing. If somebody is truly the bride of Christ, they're in a constant state of preparation to behave as a bride. Just, there's behavior that goes with it. And to me, that is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to ask them. They know they're the bride of Christ. And I heard a great voice out of the heavens saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears." We hadn't seen this yet, because we're still crying from time to time, from their eyes. There's going to be an understanding of all negative things. The scripture says that nothing passes the Father's eye that touches any of us. And some of the things that happen to us, we think, oh my God, this is horrific. But it's for our growth and divine purpose. No matter what the change is, we have to say, okay, God, like Terry's come to the place where she can say, I can't do nothing with this. Wash her hands, shut her mouth, and let him do it. Just say, well, I didn't bring this on. I didn't cause this. So what can I do? I'll just give it to you, Father. And watch him work. Watch him work. And there shall be no more death. And to me, that means an understanding of death. I really believe what Rocha said. He said, the day will come when man won't have to go through all this pain and struggling and suffering. He will just know it's time to go and just fold up and pass. That's beautiful, isn't it? Instead of going through all these diseases and all these negative things that we go through to get to the point of death, we will say, it's just time to leave.
It is finished.
It's time for me to step over. And I've talked to the Lord a lot about that. Lord, when it's time for me to go, just let me go to sleep. My grandmother prayed that prayer.
She did.
And that's the way she went. She was drinking a glass of water and had a cerebral hemorrhage. She never knew what hit her.
Yeah.
And she said, God, I want to go out like a light. And she went
did.
Out like a light. That's the way she went.
It's the easiest.
It's beautiful.
No, it's no pain. It's
and, okay, no more crying, no more pain. And all these former things will pass away. And that's truly already happening in our lives, because we can look back, like Karen said, it's almost like it wasn't us. We're standing outside ourselves looking at those things that went on and passed. And last night, Penny was talking to her dad and I about being together so long, and I thought, Lord, it's like a blink of an eye. She said, it's going to be, 60 years y'all been together. And or she said something about endurance, and Johnny said, well, I wouldn't call it endurance, really. I didn't say anything, but there's joy and beauty and all of that wrapped up in marriage. It's not just endurance, but you need some of that. If I could give it to young folks today in their marriages, I would.
No, the generation is different, but we, standing on the outside, I know Margaret herself even said, it's something she's always wanted and yearned for. And I did too. That didn't work out for me. And a lot of it was not my fault. Some of it was. But the white picket fence, the marriage thing, you know, the two person doing the deal, it didn't work out. But things did change. It has changed. And she so strived for those things. And, you know, she said, I'm tired of people. She said, I can't do it this way. And, you know, I understand I can't either. So it just didn't work out. And I said, told her, it's just okay. Said, maybe that's not your calling. You do what you can do and you walk away with the rest, you know. And it's the same for me. It's been the same for Penny. It's the same for everybody here. All of us, it didn't work out like y'all's generation. My grandmother's family.
Everybody, me and her, hung on somehow.
Well, I mean, but things were different back then, you know. They really were.
Well, there's struggles in marriage. I don't care who's married to who.
They were, but y'all didn't let us know about your struggles.
Well, I don't know about all the good or positive that we did do or didn't do. We were able to stay together, and it's never all one person, and it's never 50-50. I don't care what
you say. No, it's never perfect, but it did. Y'all did stay together, and that's the part we're talking about, is yearning for that part, because that you taught us this. It's like a Cinderella syndrome thing. You know, right, Penny? White picket fence, you know, and then Prince comes along. It's really how we thought.
You make your own Cinderella story.
No, y'all.
By the grace of God, let me put it that way.
We mimicked what we saw. That's what we wanted. That's what we wanted, what we were raised with.
That people, it's by grace that people stay together, and I know this. One time it's the husband giving, the other time it's the wife, blah, blah. It takes it all. Let me go on with this. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I will make everything new. And he said to me, Write these words that are true and faithful. Then he said unto me, It's done. I'm an Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end. So how can there be? There is no end to it. It's like the figure eight. It's just cyclic, I guess that's the word. A cyclical, whichever. Anyway, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Okay, but the fearful, that is the number one thing mankind fights, is the spirit of fear. A lot of times not getting your way.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest fears that man has.
Or control. I mean, we all have certain kind of control issues. I said that to my doctor and she started laughing. She said, I mean, we all have them. Everybody has them.
But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I want to show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city that lieth foursquare, the length, height, and breadth of it are equal. She taught on this last week in relation to our soul realm, which is beautiful to me. And showed me the great city, speaks of the government being on your shoulders. Your soul, you are responsible for your soul. Your soul is the wife part that God wants. He wants the soul. He wants to be married to everything in you, if you'll have it. And he gives you everything to do that, to become that. Let's see, the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God and her light, was likened to the stone most precious, even like a jasper, clear as crystal. And it had, I'm not going to go on because it goes on and on. It lies four square. It's exactly like the tabernacle. If you look at it and all the different things that go with it. So, God's looking for a relationship with every man, and your relationship will not be exactly like the other guys. It just won't be. Everybody's relationship with God is somewhat different. And He wants to just be the husbandman that we can talk to. Just sit down and say, you know, instead of our pleading or begging, His hand is on us. It's on our seed. I see this more and more the older I get, watching the great-grandchildren now. I can just see the hand of God that's passed down through the generations. And then I go back and read my ancestries, a couple of them, one on my side and one on Johnny's side, our ancestries, how God has been at work through the ancestry. It is amazing how He's been there, and it's been an evolution, a beautiful evolution, beautiful stories passed down. So, anyway, I encourage us all to work on our relationship with divinity that lives within us. And that means you will have a relationship with other people, like she said. The body of Christ, wouldn't take anything from my relationship with spiritual people. I'm kind of like Karen. I can have a relationship with someone that doesn't appear spiritual, but it is so damned empty. That's what it is. It's empty. I can stand it. It don't mean nothing. I want to go, come on, wake up here. Don't you want something that's got some foundation to it?
Substance.
Jesus. Do you feel that way? It's a cry in my heart, and then I go to begging. we shouldn't be doing begging God, oh Lord. But I can pray for that person. Father, wake them up to something that is redemptive, that they can see about themselves, because so many people to this day and time cannot see their qualities. They are downtrodden, and we kind of have to build ourselves up. And the scripture says, build yourself up in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need it. That's all I'll tell you. If you don't speak in tongues, why don't you? I feel like Don Cooley. Get off somewhere and learn how.
It helps, because you actually, the Spirit prays for things you don't even realize
you
need to pray.
It does, and I'm not a tongue person, and I don't get into
all
that.
I'm not
either,
but I do speak in tongues.
But
when I'm praying.
That's a gift.
It
is. But the greatest of these is love.
Yes.
That's right.
It's so been so misused to me, tongues has, that actually can turn me off, because people have misused it in the pulpit and in churches. But anyway.
That was good, Mom.
I just feel like our joining together is holy. And I don't think it ought to be that we ought to do anything to put it asunder. But changes come. Changes are happening. We have things we need to pray about, and God's spoken to us personally, and things are going, some changes are coming that some of us are not going to like. So we just need to hold on, and some of us will.
Well, there was somebody that told Margaret, he told her, he said, this guy's in Arizona, he said the very thing that Rachel prayed about the new baby, he said, in the month of March, you can watch for a huge shift in a lot of people.
Yeah, so, that was beautiful.
And there's been a shift in me. And I don't even know this guy. I've never even talked to him. But he just said, in particularly in her life and situations she's going to see, he said, not just you, but he said, in the world as a whole, there's fixing to be a huge shift of spirituality. So we're going to see more of it, and I think this presidential thing is going to, not to get into politics.
Please.
But what I'm saying is there's going to be some shifts that we didn't think we were going to see before.
Okay. We've got prayer requests, I know that. Because there are changes about, I know Patty's looking for a assisted living place, and she's looked, and they've found places they're interested in. That's great. So we need to remember her and the baby, Cade.
Let's remember Margaret. And Miranda's Gracie's mama. I know y'all don't know her. Gracie came and talked to me the other night. Her mother is very unhappy. She's drinks all the time. And her dad's real frustrated. This is a beautiful family. That something's going on with the mom. So she asked to request prayer for her mama.
For Gracie.
For Gracie's mom, yeah.
Gracie's mom.
Yeah, she's not Gracie. Anybody Gracie's else. A good kid.
You got prayer request. Karen. In particular.
Yeah, I guess I do. My daughter's circumstances changing, and they're very seriously considering here very soon coming here.
Oh, Lord, we're going to have all of our families here soon. It'll be
no, actually, if I had felt negative about it, I think it probably wouldn't have been right, but I did not. I felt it was probably, I mean, for their sake, I think the distance is just so far.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
I think
we've been split for many, many, many years. So, I mean, as far as distance, it's hard to have a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's,
so they're very seriously within the next 30 or 60 days. Because, you know, Roy's, her father-in-law, wife died. So he wants to live in that apartment they're living in and sell the big house or rent it.
Right.
So I think it's timely, but there's nothing there to hold him there anymore, just him. And she married him, Karen married him, not just a few years ago, although they had been together for a lot of years.
Yeah.
That's not his father.
Right.
So there's really, his grandfather's gone, his mother's gone, and there's nothing there to hold him anymore.
All right.
So that would be...
Anybody else? I know.
I feel good about
you're making changes. Y'all make it.
But I think that probably it's going to happen, you know, but I feel good about it. I do.
Just real briefly, Hunter has met a fellow. I guess they've been going out for about a month or two, and he and another guy own a European car mechanic shop, and fix BMWs and Jaguars and high-end stuff, and they've got investors, but it's in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And she is leaving today with him.
You met the guy?
Yeah.
You like him?
Yeah. He could be one of us. He you know, just features. Good looking kid. And seemed to be really nice. And, you know, there's just really nothing here for Hunter. Her mother's still.